It's the Best of Drew and Mike, brought to you by our friend Scott Kuhneth. Scott would love to help you find a new home or list your home or help you find a new one. Or if you want to refer someone to Realtor Scott Kuhneth, the Coldwell Banker Weir Manual, 248-797-7746. Or you can email Scott at skuhneth@cbwm. The rising star of Coldwell Banker Weir Manual.
Thanks, Scott.
Is Scott Kuhneth, 248-797-7746. And if you want to refer someone to Scott, it's all the same. As long as he's...
So I noticed your home smells of feces.
Scott can help you with that.
He will not say that, though.
He can help you with almost anything. He might, if he felt
if he,
would,
walked in
if he felt he could make you more money by telling you your home smells of feces, I think Scott
would. Kind of gamey in here.
I think Scott would do it.
It's the first thing he says when he walks in the house.
So I noticed your home smells of feces.
I think he would pick the right time to tell you, but I think he would tell you. I think he should tell you.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
What he'll really say, and in this accent, is...
Well, that's a nice place.
Scott does like to talk in drops, too, so if you got really upset, he could say, "That was just a drop."
Exactly, whatever he says.
Your home smells of feces? You haven't heard that on the show a million times? Oh, my God, I don't smell anything close to feces.
It'd be better if he just pretended that it was a drop if he said something offensive to somebody.
It's not a bad idea.
Here he is on the phone before he meets up with you.
Here is how to get over here.
We have a lot of audio of Scott, I think.
It's really
something
great.
About his friend Kelly or something like that.
How are you doing?
He basically introduces her to...
This is Kelly.
Oh, okay. I knew Kelly was his assistant or something.
Here he is showing the kitchen off.
Not bad, huh?
This is here discussing his uniform for work.
So you want me to wear this?
Here he is showing off the bedroom.
He's very good in a bed.
Yep.
I don't know what he's talking
about.
Here
he is making small talk with the clients.
So what do you do for a living?
He really loves butler pantries.
That's my favorite thing.
I think there's something about him. I don't know if this is related to a client or not.
Yeah.
Something about him spanking about Holyo or something. I don't know. It's weird. It's one of the weirdest moments he's ever had. And I know he learned
and I will
from it.
Spank my butthole a little bit.
That's him showing off the bidet. That house actually has a bidet. I don't know why.
Yeah, and it comes with a chair that that gives massages.
You like my vibrator?
Not sure what room he's in here.
I'm here with this really cute guy, and we both want you to come over and party with us.
This room's got high ceilings.
If the client requests it, what are you going to do? I mean, that tells you, if anything, that the awkward positions Scott's been put in as a realtor.
Yeah, the refrigerator comes fully stocked.
He's very good in a bed. Yeah. Probably most of the time I eat it. Ooh la la.
He's very thorough, though, too. Like, if you look at a house and it's whole and you go away and he comes back, you know.
Since you got back from that mysterious retreat, you are not the same.
I don't think anything else fits.
Yeah, some houses come with punching bags in the basement.
Slap them a little bit.
Oh, wait, here he is when going over his qualifications.
I'm in this industry since January 2000.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
19 years, I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
I think ooh la la. I think that's what he says when the house is sold and the papers are signed.
Ooh la la. Just wondering.
Wow. Well,
there he
please do call Scott. Or
no,
for Scott.
No, no, no.
248-797-7746. He does talk.
I will play my butt.
He does talk in drops, too.
He'll even help you move some furniture in wherever you want it, and he's very, very careful.
I will put it right here, nice and slow.
Oh, I didn't recognize his voice the first time I heard that, but that is Scott.
Did you hear how cautious he was with that piece of furniture?
Yeah, no, that's really cool.
Put it right here, nice and slow.
I think that says it all.
Oh, he loves his job.
That's my favorite thing.
And he doesn't mind selling homes to families either.
I like that, baby.
Loves wow. Little kids.
He goes above and beyond.
You want me to give you a lap dance?
How cool is that?
I have been with my share of guys, but I have never had two guys at once.
He's talking about selling as a team.
Is he, though?
Your dick is so hard.
I don't know what that is. That's not.
Yeah, that's not from work.
No. Mm-hmm.
Do you accept the offer?
Great.
Oh, man. Oh, boy.
Before you go in the house here, Scott.
First, I will play my butt.
What?
Hey, whatever it takes to move on. Yeah,
I know. You got to do what you got to do. Oh, that's something what great. It takes more than anything.
How are you doing?
Sometimes it gets really strange, but you just got to hang in there and get in the pocket and do what you got to do. Sell the house. Yeah,
just let him say,
have a seat. I've been expecting you. I can tell this is going to be fun.
That's a big room he's in there.
And he does talk in drops, so I mean, you know, a guy like that wants to have fun. That's really cool.
Oh.
I don't know why, but this one, I've been digging this one lately.
Mm-hmm.
So stupid. Like anyone's talking to her.
I'm not kidding. Boogie Nights, it was hard not to stop the thing every 30 seconds for a drop. I love Marky Mark's voice in that movie. It's so funny.
Hey, Scott, tell us about the Great Room.
Very big.
I don't know why that was so funny.
Very big.
All right.
Sorry.
So I was waiting to do the best of, and I was watching Channel 7 had one of the great white trash moments of the century, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
At a home in front of Roseville, and there's a dog. There's a lot of shirts off, and there's trash.
I mean,
real trash.
In a trash can. I want to know, why are their faces blurred?
Used as a weapon. I don't know.
Action News reporter Kimberly Craig talked to the owner of that dog in Roseville.
This isn't the first time these two different groups have confronted each other, and it's an ongoing dispute over two teenagers who are seeing each other.
That dog knew exactly what it was doing. And they brought it out as a weapon.
Neighbors we talked to said it was hard to watch a dog let loose to attack a man. The dog's owner, William McLean, said his 19-year-old stepson let the dog go to protect him.
Somebody yelled knife, and that's why the dog was let go.
One of the guys
when the dog was let go, the dog did his job.
Wait, say that again.
Who let the dogs out?
One of the guys that's not wearing a shirt is way overweight.
Really?
And yeah.
Let me tell you how this is going to go down. First, I'm going to kick you in the chin, breaking your jaw in four places. I'm going to take you and karate flip you over my back and then knee your nose into your brain, killing you instantly. I do want to get a throat rip in here. Think that's going to be you, small fry. One thing I do know, I'm going to rip your dick off and shove it in your mouth. And that is non-negotiable.
A serious fighter.
But he sicks the dog on him, and then the guy's fighting the dog on the ground, and the guy starts slugging him nonstop.
You
and another
go?
Guy.
That's not fair.
It's garbage day, so there's a lot of garbage. So he just picks a big garbage can up and just chucks it on top of the whole thing with the dog and everything.
I've seen enough rumbles. If there's a garbage can around, it's getting thrown on top of
garbage someone. Day!
I almost thought it was a prop for a second there because it was so cool the way they just brought it into the fray. It looks so natural.
It's really not garbage day. They just brought it out.
Watch this.
You want some
you
too,
go?
Old man?
They brought the neighbor garbage cans out too. To
neighbors we talked to said it was hard to watch a dog let loose to attack a man. The dog's owner, William LaFlave, said his 19-year-old stepson let the dog go to protect him.
Somebody yelled knife, and that's why the dog was let go. When the dog was let go, the dog did his job to make sure he protected me from getting stabbed by the individual.
But we talked to the 20-year-old man who was bitten multiple times by the dog, and he said he
garbage
did not have a
in.
Knife.
Oh.
And we talked to three witnesses who told us the same thing, and they said LaFlave is the one who threw the first punch.
There was no knife at all.
Today, Roseville police came to talk to LaFlave, who wouldn't open the door
to the door,
officers.
So he's talking from
he
the
said
upstairs
they wanted
window
his dog
to the
cops.
They said that they wanted the dog. I told them the dog wasn't here. They wanted paperwork,
why
all that.
Why did
he
put a
I
shirt
I
on,
my
by the way?
On the dog,
it's a sharp
all that.
Shirt,
this was the
why.
First fight that sparked it all yesterday afternoon with William LaFlave's 19-year-old stepson and a 17-year-old boy and his friends who live in the neighborhood exchanged angry words in front of LaFlave's house. Then there
people
was another fight down the street.
In this neighborhood.
And 32-year-old William LaFlave confronted this man who told us he hadn't been involved in any fight. But some say LaFlave's ego
guys
was bruised
matching jorts,
and he and his stepson way after the man because he caught with
that.
The others. That man ending up with stitches after getting bit
synchronized
multiple
Christmas
times.
Gift matching
maybe they should
jorts?
Have came over, you know, and that's as simple as that. But when the adult should have been the adult, and the adult was not the adult.
Roseville police say they are investigating and will forward their findings to prosecutors.
Should be
in
adults,
Roseville, Kimberly Craig,
adults.
7 Action News. All right.
Wow.
The adults should be the adults.
Wow.
Sounds weird.
I wonder what happened when it calmed down and they all went inside.
Wow. So, who won?
She's the one who can't see out of one eye.
Hot damn. You actually gave little Lord Gale a black eye?
Huh? Yeah, but it's not black yet.
But it's all puffed up. Well, then it's a shiner, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
How'd it start?
Well, I called him a sissy.
Well, he sure as he can't sue you for slander. The boy fights for the pink team. We all know that. Goddamn kid's queer, so. Did you make him cry?
Yeah, he was ready to. Uh-huh. See, I called him a big-ass squat-tippy sissy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want bigger, except he hit me when I wasn't looking.
He dry-gulched you? Now, wait a minute. That's your fault. Uh-oh. You gotta keep your guard up. There's no excuse for getting dry-gulched. You got me? No excuse for getting dry-gulched. I'm gonna show you a couple of moves after supper that'll leave Miss Arthur Gale wondering what month it is. Okay?
Great.
Oh my God.
What a how ridiculous. Fight.
So,
definitely worth fighting over. Whatever they were fighting over.
Did I tell you guys? Yeah. No, it was a great fight.
No one knows what they were fighting over.
It was a barn burner. It was over the altercation the previous day and the dog. Yeah, and I don't know. Who knows?
No, the dog was the weapon.
Well, it was a good fight anyway. And the garbage got thrown into the fray, too.
Someone had to clean it up.
Charlie Dwight is back.
Yeah.
Charlie?
Yeah. What's he up to?
Charlie sent me his own 64 band selection.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Huh. But that's a lot. That seems like a fairly good effort. Anyway, he picked the Kinks, Beatles, Zeppelin, Hendrix, Who, Floyd, Yes.
Yes.
We have Yes. We don't have Yes.
No.
Do we? Deep Purple, Springsteen, Neil Young, AC/DC, Nirvana, Elton John,
yes.
Queen, Deep Purple, Black Sabbath, Doors, Ramones, Stooges, T-Rex. He does this in order, doesn't he? No, he's got the Stones coming up. Seeger, Roxy Music. We don't have them. Rolling Stones, Talking Heads, U2, Cream.
Doesn't he have them in alphabetical order?
No,
almost?
No, really? No. Guns N' Roses, Creedence, Aerosmith, Bowie, Sex Pistols, Motley Crue. They're out of ours, aren't they?
No, Motley Crue's in there.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I think, didn't Graf say to dismiss them?
No.
Is that possible?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I don't think I'd
kick them
out. He
was talking about Iron Maiden a lot, Graf was.
That's right. I almost felt like it was an insult to J. Timko to take Iron Maiden out.
Oh, yeah.
The wrath of J. Timko.
Jay has expanded my horizons with.
Oh, Jay is a monster fan. Yeah, I really wasn't that familiar with him. Jay played him a lot. And I have to admit, I thought they were very good. Metallica, Pearl Jam, Van Halen, Cars, Elvis Costello makes his list. Joy Division, Sex Pistols, Pumpkins, Clash, Fleetwood Mac, Post 74, REM, Police, The Smiths.
Where's Boston?
Elric would appreciate The Smiths. Boston is not on Charlie's list. Judas,
about 30 that aren't on there.
Judas Priest, Prince, The Cure, Radiohead, Soundgarden, Iron Maiden, Pixies. I don't know about the Pixies.
Oh, I think so.
I like them.
If you're talking about influential.
Oasis,
the
Tom
Pixies
Petty.
Pixies are kind of like what the Velvet Underground is. Pixies of the 80s? 100%.
Late 80s, right?
Yeah, but I mean, they're incredibly influential.
Oasis, Tom Petty, Electric Light Orchestra, Motorhead, Kiss, Alice Cooper, Red Hot Chili Peppers, The Monkees. I wouldn't pick The Monkees, but The Monkees were very popular.
Not bad, huh?
Foo Fighters, Jane's Addiction. We didn't have Jane's Addiction in there, did we?
And I love them, but I wouldn't put them in there.
Alice in Chains. Yeah, I... what came on just there? Oh, Jane Says. I love that
great
song.
Yeah.
It's a great song. I can't hear good. That song enough. For some reason, Jane
song.
Says is one of those songs I never get sick of. So there's Charlie back. And Charlie's got an incredible musical palette. He's a young guy. Isn't Charlie like 30?
Is he? I don't know.
I think he's pretty young.
Huh.
I mean, he really knows his music. Jane
that
Says.
Sexy.
I was reading about the Jane Birkin.
Yeah, what a
who is Jane of Jane Says.
Mm-hmm.
She lived with a band, and she used to be with the bass player.
Total disaster.
And then Perry started banging her, and then would never talk to the bass player again. I think that's the way it goes. Was the
sounds
bass player
awkward?
Yeah, would never talk. I mean, we're talking years, 10 years or something. And Jane was a junkie, and she kept talking about getting her act together. But she eventually did. And she kicked drugs, and she's now just Jane Birkin.
I think this one. Oh, why is he got to start with all that crap?
Here we go!
Here is so weird.
have thought Jane Birkin would have been way too old for him, but I guess she's only 12 years older.
Jane Birkin?
Yeah.
Jane Birkin. Wait, who are we talking about? Jane of Jane says? Isn't her name Jane Birkin?
Jane Birkin is 72 years old.
No. She's not that old. No. Not the same girl. This girl's probably in her, I don't know, early 50s, maybe. Wait, this is like 1990? Is that possible?
Yeah,
she would have been like 23, 24 in 1990. 1988, something like that. I don't know. She's still out there. She does an interview every now and again. So,
Jane Bainter.
Bainter. Wait, who's Jane Birkin?
Jane Birkin is like an actress.
I don't know either. I don't think I just pulled that out of my ass. I think I confused Jane's just like I confused Jack Nicholas and Jack Nicholson.
But coming across her, there apparently is a book called Whores, an oral biography of Perry Farrell and Jane's addiction. That sounds cool. I want to read that.
I want to read it too.
Yeah. Whores. Awesome.
Coming up on the Best Of, brought to you by Scott Kunith.
You whore.
Famous presidential rumors and other fake history. Wait, fake history? It's not fake.
Ooh la la.
I remember when I got the book. There was a lot of good stuff in that book, and a lot of it was true, I think.
Oh.
Then we have the House of Nails, the Lenny Dykstra book.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, that was a good book. The book, I think the book by the guy that worked with Lenny on the newsletter was
a little more entertaining.
May have been better.
Yeah. Yeah, bro.
Bigger disaster.
Because he
fuck
just...
you all, Steve. How's that sound?
Lenny just came into his world out of nowhere, and he had no idea what he was getting into. He was kind of a square financial writer who just thought, you know, he was getting this finance guy, and no, he got Lenny Dykstra.
Best thing that ever happened to him.
And he just remembered a lot of stuff that was very funny. Very trivial, but very funny. And then the review of Aretha's last show. Oh, I'll never forget that. Took her a long time to get to the stage, I do believe.
Yeah.
It's kind of hot. But looking back on it, it was kind of amazing that she even made it to the show. Tough chick. Great singer. So, the Best Of is brought to you by Scott Kunith, Coldwell Banker, Weir Manual. See what your home is worth. Or maybe to sell your home, list your home. Or to find out, find your new home. Or to list your, sell, or whatever your home. Or if you want to refer someone to Scott Kunith, he would be delighted to work with virtually anyone, even if your home smells of feces. I think Scott would still work with you.
Here is how to get over here.
248-797-7746 to reach Scott, or S. Kunith at CBWM. Scott is the rising star of Coldwell Banker, Weir Manual, fine firm. SKUNNATH at CBWM.com, or 248-797-7746 for Scott Kunith, who brings you the Best Of the Drew and Mike Show.
I can tell this is going to be fun.
Dweller H.
The famous Iwo Jima picture.
Oh, that guy got ripped off all those years.
Can you believe that?
Oh my God.
What about the guy that supposedly is in the picture,
imposter?
But he's not in the picture, and he's been going around the country touring as one of the guys in the picture.
I know, he's and he dead knew. Now.
So, I mean, I want him to be alive so he can go, you weren't in that picture! Give us back all that hotel money we paid for you to tour the country.
Was that the kid's son that was writing a book?
The guy that's in the picture's son. Is he writing a book?
He's from here, and he's from Detroit.
Yeah. He's local.
How crazy is that?
But the guy that's in the picture never said, hey, by the way, that's me in the picture. You got the wrong guy. He never said a word.
Yeah, no, he never came up.
But I don't know. That might be if it's not the son writing a book, then that's the second guy.
His name is Schultz, is the guy that.
You read a lot, I read. I can't remember, but the son was writing a book about the heroes of him, and he's like, shit, it wasn't my dad.
Oh, his son discovered the discrepancy. Yeah. Oh,
now, if this is a second one, it's like, and you know they reshot that, quote unquote, reshot that.
Yeah, they staged it, yeah.
Well, it happened. Hey, do it again.
Yeah.
Is the word we get.
Right, yeah.
So the Navy did an investigation.
Charlie, you know what? It's the son of the guy that isn't in the picture, right?
Right.
That was it, yeah. Bradley's son.
Well, that was in the New York Times like 6 weeks ago.
God. Well, excuse me.
Come on, free press.
Jeez.
Yeah, come on. Get with it. I wonder if they've reprinted it from... Oh, if they reprinted it from USA Today. I guess USA Today just got around to it, too.
No, I think it was USA Today. I stand corrected. Correction.
But I just thought it was bizarre that this guy... Do you think... I know this is a weird story, but like in the 80s, okay, that's 35, 40 years after, don't you think you'd remember if you were part of this flag raising? I mean, this incredible event.
Of course
you
were
a part of it. Wouldn't you remember?
Yeah, it was a big deal.
I'm just feeling like the guy that was in there touring, acting like one of the guys, that he knew he wasn't one of the guys.
Oh, he did. He was totally drinking it in.
You think?
Is that part?
You know, I can't. Were they there?
Is that what the book's about? I'm just curious.
I think
because they didn't say anything about the fact that he wasn't in the picture. They didn't say he knew he wasn't in the picture, or they suspected that he knew, or I mean, they really didn't say anything about it. And I was like, I want to know what's going on with that guy.
There's also I read the USA Today article. The son didn't quite know what to do for a while. He kind of sat on it.
Oh, like he was cool with dad being a hero?
He's like, I don't know what to do. Like, do I out dad?
Did he wait till his dad was timed
out?
Yeah,
I think he waited. His dad's not around, is he?
I think his dad passed.
The fake?
Yeah, and the guy who was really in the picture, he's dead too. So he got fucked.
So he never, ever claimed.
No, he never.
That's not you, that's me.
And there were a lot of people who said to him, because he was at Iwo Jima, who told him, "Boy, you're a hero, and you know, thanks for what you did." And he said, "Oh, I'm not a hero, I'm just a Marine." And Marines can be like that, which is, you know, part of the allure of the Marines, no question. But I don't know. That's a fascinating story. It's so cool, too, I think, that anybody. I mean, isn't it funny how you think you're in the clear? Just like that guy thought, you know, he was on his deathbed going, I'm going to die. Everybody thinks I was in that picture. Isn't that cool? No. 15 years later, you fucking phony. Dig him up. Dig him up.
All of a sudden, they're perp walking him out of the Harlem police precinct.
Prop him up. Get him out of the coffin. I want to yell at that fucker. You liar. You fucking liar. You were not in that picture, and you knew it.
Yes, I was.
God, and I mean, it's just like, what have we heard about dead presidents? Like, Lincoln was gay.
Yeah.
That was out there for a while.
Right. And he died with a $5 bill in his pocket.
That's true. I told you that.
You did tell me that.
True. It's just irony, but I mean, he just happened to have a $5 bill in his pocket.
Were there bills back then? Of course there were.
He wasn't on it at the.
He wasn't on it yet.
Who was on it?
Good question. I have to find out.
Huh.
But Lincoln was gay. I mean, that was a big one. That went on for a while. And Jefferson thought, oh, man, I banged the shit out of that slave.
It's got, like, all kinds of
kids. Nobody knows a thing about it. Isn't that great? I'm dying. I'm so happy. Nobody knows. And sure enough, 200 years later, he was nailing slaves, that asshole. Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson. I mean, honest to God, nobody. It's never over.
No, it isn't.
Nope.
Never over. There's a buck to be made.
The Lincoln gay thing was pretty tepid, actually. I don't think there was really much.
Okay, and then Roosevelt couldn't walk.
Oh, never told anybody, yeah.
And Kennedy was stooping everything that moved.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then there's Bill.
Martin Luther King was banging a lot of chicks.
Yeah, when are they going to put that out?
It's been out.
No, I mean, the tapes. They've sealed
them. Oh, yeah. No, I know. Yeah, isn't that weird? They have tapes of him, like, in bed talking shit to some chick.
White prostitutes.
Nice. Were they white prostitutes? Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. No, J. Edgar Hoover who did that?
J. Edgar Hoover was gay?
Had him surveilling him?
Yes.
Yeah.
While
he was wearing a dress.
J. Edgar Hoover, another great example, he thinks, man, I was going after all those gay people my entire career, and now I'm just about to die. I'm lying down, and nobody knows about Clyde Tolson. I butt-fucked him my whole life. Oh, my God. Nobody knows.
Clyde. Come over here, Clyde.
Now, how could nobody know about that, by the way? They went on vacation together. They lived together, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah.
That's, come on.
It's just his guy Friday.
I wonder, did J. Edgar Hoover have a beard? He must have.
You know, actually a beard?
Yeah, like, no, like,
you mean a chick?
No, a chick. A chick who.
Oh, yeah. Who do you, man, wait a minute. He went out with starlets. He went out with, like.
Oh, did he?
Like Audrey Hepburn or something. I'm just throwing that one out there.
Wow.
Wow, didn't she have any better gay dart than that?
I know.
There was somebody that palled with him. Yeah.
Well, he was such a powerful guy. You know, chick, so.
What?
Look at this powerful gay man I'm with tonight. I mean, man.
Sure. Well, he was the most powerful man in the country.
I kind of want to look that up.
He can't get a date, so he's doing this instead.
Why didn't Bobby Kennedy out him?
Bobby Kennedy. Well, you know.
Bobby Kennedy would have known, right? Oh, he was out to get Bobby Kennedy.
All those people would know. You think
or maybe he had him killed.
I don't know. Well, Bobby was what? What was Bobby's
attorney
type?
General?
So he's under the DOJ. He was J. Edgar Hoover's boss.
Yeah.
So I wonder who was actually the boss.
Right. Yeah, who was?
You know what I mean? Like,
was the dance partner?
Well, J. Edgar Hoover's running files on all the Kennedys. I mean,
so, did he limit Bobby Kennedy's access to information? I'm sure he did.
And he had a lot of cards against him, a lot of secrets
probably
that he played.
Yeah.
But Bobby Kennedy supposedly was banging Jackie.
And Marilyn.
No, I never
same time JFK
that.
Was.
Oh. Hold on. Where's my iPad? Where's my iPad?
Somewhere in that pile of papers over there.
I'm not saying that I know this for a fact personally, but my God, it's been out there big time.
Well, if the Globe says it.
No, not the Globe.
Boston Globe.
We can do better than the Globe on that.
Okay, as
but they both
you're typing right now, so I'll just entertain you.
Go ahead.
Nothing. Okay, you need a light, Drew? Oh, it's lit.
They were both. They were both in Marilyn Monroe too, though, at the same time too. I thought that was odd. Yeah. That brothers.
Now that's some fucked up brother shit.
That is.
I mean, I'm gonna hit her. No, dude, come on. I'm hitting her.
And Peter Lawford, their cousin too. You know.
I know Peter Lawford, who was thought to be the real party animal of the whole family, was right. Nothing compared to JFK.
JFK and RFK.
Okay, did Bobby Kennedy have sex with Jackie Kennedy? I'm just...
What's the answer?
Just Googled. Jackie Kennedy's secret lover revealed in new book.
Oh.
Jackie had a secret affair with JFK brother Teddy after she bedded Bobby. Come
oh my
on,
God,
are you kidding
them
me?
All?
No.
What other Kennedys were there that she didn't do?
Hey, the night Jackie Kennedy told Marilyn Monroe where to go. Hey, that sounds good.
Like clickbait.
Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis' secret affair is cheating with Bobby and Ted Kennedy. I never knew about Ted Kennedy. What the?
Lucky.
She do Rose Kennedy, too? Or what was the sister?
Why not?
Who was the sister?
Rose.
Was
no, it? Rose is the mom. Rose
was institutionalized.
The mom. God, I read a little bit about that in the bookstore.
Edna or something?
The book was not Ethel? No. Ethel's the mother, the sister-in-law?
The matriarch, wasn't she, Ethel? Oh, no, that was Teddy's.
Bobby's wife was Ethel.
You sure it wasn't Rose?
I thought Rose was the mama.
Maybe it was Rose, too.
But she was lobotomized.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And old man Kennedy used to go visit her, like, once a year for, like, a day. She's in this institution. It was one of those things where I'm reading the book, deciding if I want to get it, and I'm reading it for, like, 40 pages, 50 pages. And it's like,
there he goes
again.
I almost
read the whole thing. Yeah, that and Bobby Brown.
You're the most erudite cheapskate I've ever met. So I read half of it standing at Starbucks and decided I don't want it.
I love bookstores.
Rosemary. It was Rosemary.
Okay. Yeah, it was Rose.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah. Wow, they lobotomized her. How harsh was that?
Yeah, I know.
Old man Kennedy didn't want any
smart brutal.
Smart
she
Kennedy
was, girls. She was overly emotional.
That's right. That's
what
it
was.
Yeah,
she was a
controller.
She was not quite socialized. She wasn't as prim and proper as they wanted a Kennedy girl to be. And so they thought she needed a little lobotomy.
Wow.
And that would calm her down.
You won't feel a thing.
Yeah.
She liked to cuddle.
She liked to cuddle.
And there was not much prim and proper or much anything left after the lobotomy, yeah. Unfortunately.
She looked pretty good here, though. I mean, I see there's a picture of her.
Yeah, she's okay looking.
Kind of normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess you can get around after lobotomy.
I read about it.
How
in
bad
People.
Could it be?
I read about it in People magazine.
I think that's pre-lobotomy picture there.
Oh, okay.
And she needs to go.
Jackie was carrying on an affair with Ted Kennedy even while she was still married to JFK. A rumor that was also apparently corroborated by Jackie's confidant, Nancy Dickerson. Apparently, Ted Kennedy made it a well-known fact that he fell in love with Jackie even before she married his brother. And even though he knew that she was also having an affair with Bobby, he couldn't stop himself from continuing to see her. What a slut! Plus, she's banging three brothers. Plus,
they're sluts.
Jackie reportedly told Truman Capote about her affair with Paul Newman, comparing her husband to him. Capote is quoted as saying, Jackie told him, it was the most amazing thing. Paul and Jack have an identical penis. It was like getting seduced by my husband all over again. It was eerie. Yeah, she sounds a little overly obsessed with a penis there.
So, I don't get it, though.
That's pretty wild, man.
You're stepping out. Why are you stepping into the same set of shoes?
Yeah, it doesn't make
sense. I don't know. I mean, she knew all those guys were bad
weird
guys.
Fucking people, man.
So yeah.
If you're out there and you're driving your truck and you're going to your thing, you're all right, brother.
I mean,
it could be worse.
Oh, my God. Think about that. She banged three brothers.
And then Arionassus. Oh.
And then the three brothers banged the same two chicks.
Yep. God, they are.
I mean, so, hey, Taylor, you're all right.
Exactly. And the guy who's feeling bad because he nailed his wife's sister, hey, you could have nailed two sisters. It could have been worse.
Is that on Google?
Yeah.
They have a threesome, these people?
Oh, no threesome.
One-on-one all the time.
It was Jackie and Marilyn and... Mm-hmm. I can't even put them buck teeth Kennedys like in that gorgeous sandwich.
I know, Jackie, isn't it? Yeah, that's really right. Strange, isn't it? You know that famous picture of her at a party and she's talking to...
Which one? Marilyn?
Marilyn.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's been everywhere, but she's wearing this beaded dress and pretty, pretty tight, of course. And JFK's like having a drink, like 5 feet away from her, and there's a couple guys in between them, but it's so obvious what's going on. Anyway, it's just so bizarre. Every time I see the... And her singing Happy Birthday at the convention. Yeah. What the fuck was that?
Awesome. Awesome's awesome. Just awesome.
She had me sewn into that dress, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's how tight it was.
So who was hotter, Jackie O or Marilyn Monroe?
Oh, please. Are you kidding?
I think Jackie O.
Well, you know, it's really funny. I never think Jackie O's that hot, but she looks pretty good in this picture.
She's pretty good, man.
I don't know. I was never attracted. Oh, yeah, yeah. I was not attracted to Jackie O.
Yeah, she had some beautiful features and the dignity and her.
Until I found out she was fucking petty. Chappaquiddick petty.
Yeah.
Now she didn't have the dignity.
And Onassis, too.
Onassis, what a slob. But
supposedly, she went on a Greek vacation while Jack was president. She's like, I'm getting away from all this mess. And he's like, yeah, go ahead. And she's like, I'm going to go with my sister, Lee Radiswell, and we're going to party with Arionassus. And he's like, be careful. That guy's kind of cuckoo. And supposedly, I think Lee Radiswell had banged him, and Jackie did, I think, on that trip. While he was president.
They never banged anybody that their siblings didn't bang. That was just their policy.
How highfalutin.
What's her maiden name? Bellevue? The Bellevue family had the same...
French name, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Google.
Jackie Bouvier. Kennedy's maiden name?
Bouvier.
You're right. Ooh, you're right.
Wow. I won it.
Wasn't
pointy one over here.
Beat Google.
Was her father's nickname Black Jack?
I don't know.
Nickname Blackjack?
Blackjack Bouvier, though. That's cool. Anyway, that's got a ring.
But Arionassus, what the fuck was that? I mean, my God, did you marry the guy?
I don't even know what he looks like.
She was in love with the
Arionassus. Oh, first of all, he wears the most ridiculous glasses, like three times the size of Elvis's biggest sunglasses.
Is his name Aristotle?
Arionassus. Yes.
See, I mean, he got a cool name.
She married him for money. Wasn't it just about the bucks?
Yeah, it was totally about the bucks.
There was no other reason you'd marry
that guy. Kennedys were... billionaires. I mean,
I know, that's what I could never figure out. It's like, how much money did she need? Not to mention the fact she became an editor and she actually made a lot of money as an editor.
What, like Vogue or something?
Random House or something?
Yeah, books. Oh. Yeah. I don't know. As Greek guys go, I don't know.
Oh, there she goes with the ethnic slam. He looks like Beretta to me. Tony Blake. Robert Blake.
Slight resemblance.
That's not his biggest, most outrageous pair of glasses.
No, that's not. Those are tiny glasses for him.
Didn't he have a boat that had bar chairs made out of whale scrotums?
I bet he's hung like Paul Newman.
Exactly. Probably. I mean, what the fuck? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, the country was pretty disturbed by that, too.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was like Princess Di going with, what's his name, Dodi Fayed.
Oh, yeah.
Same sort of
made
head
no
trip.
Sense.
Another ethnic slam.
I'm not slam. I'm just saying the country was outraged about it. I didn't care, but...
Well, that thing, though, that Dodi Fayed, that was just a little fling.
Because
as soon as they died, it was like, he was going to give her an engagement ring. They were going to be married. It was like, no, she was not going to marry that guy.
No, I don't think so.
She's just into the coke.
Yeah,
probably. He got good blow.
He did.
Yeah. He allowed daddy's spending money. He was on allowance. He was. He got allowance from Daddy Fayed, like $100,000 a month or something.
Yeah.
And he got producer credits on some movies in Hollywood.
Nice.
What an ass.
And then to this day, when you look at Harry, you think of the groomer, the equestrian teacher. Well, who was the?
Oh,
his father? Because
absolutely.
If you hold their pictures side by side,
he is the father. There's no question. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
His name escapes me, but yeah, we've studied those pictures many, many times.
Just
God, man, rich people are weird.
I know. They just they are. It's a license to do whoever you want, though.
No, they're all doing each other.
That's true.
No, they are.
They're within.
But think of that. The whole Jack thing is, that's so fucking insane when you think about it. I mean, she's banging his brothers. He's banging everything. Maybe that was like the best way to get back him. I'll fuck his brothers. That's what I'll do. That way it doesn't require nearly as much dick as it would take to get even with him. But if it's his brothers, that's pretty rough.
And then throw Paul Newman in.
And I bet you JFK's father hit on her at some point.
Oh, yeah. Because
he hit on everybody. He and Jack slept with multiple chicks.
Together. Jackie, come here, boy. I'm going to show you.
No wonder he had back problems.
Oh, a real Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, and he was getting injections of, what were they injecting Jack with? Jack was fucked up half the time.
Right. Yeah.
Cortisone or something?
Oh, no.
I think it was cortisone. He was built better than that.
He had some good meds.
Yeah, I don't recall exactly.
So he made that Cuban Missile Crisis thing under the influence of, yeah, what was the drug?
Yeah, I think if he was a good president doing all that he was doing. I think they claimed they were, you know, B-12 shots or something, but they were something much stronger.
Right. Hey, it's
just a B-12 shot. It's no big deal.
He was taking, for Addison's, steroids, painkillers for his back, antispasmodics for his colitis.
That's a... probably a nice little cocktail he was taking there.
Antibiotics for urinary tract and antihistamines for his allergies.
For urinary
tract. That's pretty interesting.
Gonorrhea.
For overuse.
Gonorrhea. Lenny Dykstra's book is, it's a hilarious read. It's funny. I mean, just the way he thinks is hilarious. And we talked about some of his phrases, Pearl Harboring people, which, by the way, he does occasionally. In fact, he wanted...
mostly, I think.
He wanted John Grisham to write the open to his book, and he Pearl Harbored John Grisham. He found out he lived in Charlottesville, Virginia, and flew in there and met a friend, and they found
Lenny!
Him.
Lenny!
I know.
Can't do
he's
that.
He's a nut like that.
Well, now he's...
I guess he didn't write it, huh?
No. Lenny... I think Lenny definitely wrote the
book. No, you mean talking the foreword. About, it was Stephen
forward.
King.
So yeah, Stephen King ended up writing it.
Did he Pearl Harbor Stephen King to get his...
Probably. Book? Probably. I wouldn't be surprised. Hmm. Anyway, Lenny starts pretty much in the early days playing high school ball. He hit 550 in high school. The Mets drafted him 13th round. He was offered $12,000 to sign, which is not bad in 1980, but not huge money. So he said he wanted to play in the Cape Cod League or something, one of those great summer leagues, and see if he could bump his bonus up if he played well. And sure enough, he I think it's the Kansas State League. It's supposed to be a great summer amateur league. He was hitting 380, and the Mets came back with $17,000, I believe it was, and he signed. It's what he wanted to do anyway. But he would have been that ASU outfield with Bonds and McDowell.
Wow.
Had he gone to ASU. Played phenomenal from day one in the minor leagues. He hit .358 in the Carolina League with 105 stolen bases. That's single.
Yeah, we were
A
talking
ball.
About that, yeah. Jeez.
And then he was in Tidewater, cleaning up in Tidewater.
The Tides.
By the way, I've played in the Tidewater Tides Park. Ooh!
Ooh, is right.
Virginia Tech used to play Old Dominion. Let's see, was it Old Dominion we played there?
Why would they play there? Is that where
it's
Old Dominion
is? It's not far. Yeah, the Old Dominion's in on the coast.
Oh,
it's
I'm
in Virginia
of,
Beach.
I'm thinking of VCU, which they're in Richmond, right?
Yeah, we played them in a double-A Braves, Richmond Braves Park, which is either double or triple-A. But the Tidewater Tides, we had a particularly bad infield round of infield at Hump. B-U-N-T, Bud the Baseball.
Coach Hump.
Coach Humphreys was really pissed, and he... threw the fungo bat out of the stadium.
That's where he did
out
that.
Out of the stadium in the Tidewater Tides Park. Yes,
oh, that's
and
awesome.
It hit all on as we heard the boom boom. We just heard it hit something. No one ever knew what
how
was
did,
hit.
How did you guys not crack up?
Oh, was people did crack up,
okay.
But you had to do it very quietly,
like in your mitt.
Yes,
your mitt up to your face.
It was very difficult.
Did you see Coastal Carolina, by the way, win this year?
Yeah, I did.
Pretty cool, huh?
How the hell did that happen?
First time they've ever won anything.
That's first time they've won
any sport.
Have they been in the World Series before?
I don't think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lenny reaches the bigs from Tidewater. His first game against Mario Soto, hit a home run in his second at bat.
Mario Soto, Dodgers, right?
No, Reds.
Reds, okay.
And, you know, it's funny, when he talked about his first game, he said, you know, he got to the field, he announced, I'm Lenny Dykstra, I've been called up by the Mets, you know, to get past security. They let him in, they had his name there, and it was all so official. But so he got out in the field, and even though it's the same game you've always played, just because it's this new level, he freaked out and was really pretty intimidated. First time up, he said he barely remembered. But he
was
stuck,
this at Shea?
No, it was in
Riverfront.
Yeah. But the second time up, he had kind of loosened up, and he finally got a nice pitch to hit. He said Mario Soto wasn't throwing that hard then, but he took him downtown. His only home run of the year, too.
Wow.
And then he kind of takes you up to, that was in 84, I believe, and he takes you up to 86 and the NLCS.
Oh, I'll never forget that.
Love it.
What a great series that was. I'd forgotten he hit the game-winning home run in game three.
One of the early games. It was a day game.
Game three.
Yep.
Hit the game-winning home run.
Keith Jackson had the call of that game.
Keith Jackson had the call? Are you kidding me?
Why do you know that?
I just remember it like it was yesterday.
Gary Carter had the game-winning hit in Game 5. They went 2-1 in 12 innings. Was that Nolan Ryan pitched that game for Houston, maybe? He had one
Mike
long...
Mike Scott. I don't remember. Mike Scott dominated both outings. He dominated that year.
He did. He was the MVP of the series because he shut him out in the first game, and then they scored one run and a strawberry home run in Game 4.
And then Game 6 was the long game. What did it go? 16 innings or so? Even more than that, maybe.
16.
Yeah, 16
that
innings.
That was Game 6.
Game that 6,
was
that wrapped
was the
it.
Winning game.
Yeah, that wrapped it.
And Mike Scott would have gone in Game 7.
He would have went in 7.
Right. Then, just a quick aside, in the 88 NLCS when they played the Dodgers, I'd forgotten about this because Kirk Gibson has hit so many huge home runs. With that series 2-1 New York leading, they would have gone up 3-1. But they were tied with the Dodgers in the 12th inning. Gibson hit the winning home run in the 12th inning for the Dodgers.
I forgot that.
And that saved the Dodgers in the series. So that was
and, of course, he won in the World Series.
Huge home run.
Game one, right? He won in the World Series in game one.
Was that game that one?
Yeah.
It was. Okay.
Jack game Buck one. On the call?
Yep.
Right? No, it was.
Yeah.
Here's one of the first bodacious claims that Lenny makes in the book. He says he paid private detectives to dig up dirt on umpires.
Really?
So he could tell them, you know, when he's up, he's like, so how much you lose last night, Jack? The umpire, like, you had a gambling issue.
Oh, wait, why would that help him?
He thought if they knew he had dirt on them, that it would broaden his strike zone, or it would shrink his strike zone.
I think it would broaden it. Like, let's get this asshole out of here as quick as
I didn't
as
know
possible.
What to make. I thought it was a crazy idea, but he swears he did it.
But you're not endearing yourself to them.
No.
You're pissing them off.
What a waste of money.
He thought it gave him something on them, is how he looked at it.
Did he say that? I'm going to blackmail you with this?
No, I don't think he said that, but I know. It's just, he's so crazy. And then Charlie Sheen becomes his buddy somewhere along the line.
Did you read about the crack den?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Charlie, by the way, asked him for help with his hitting.
Yeah.
And Lenny's like, help with your hitting? What are you talking about? Charlie takes him to the side of the house where he has the most state-of-the-art batting cage he had ever seen in his life. Lenny.
Yeah.
Never seen a batting cage like this. It had, you know, could adjust the speed on the guns, the speed gun, the pitching, automatic pitching machine. And he said Charlie was getting 90-mile-per-hour fastballs, lefty and righty, and he was raking.
Wow.
He was a switch hitter, and he can hit well from both sides of the plate.
Well, we knew he
Charlie Sheen.
We knew he was really good in high school, right? Or
I don't know. I never knew how good he was.
There was some story, which I thought that's what helped get him major league.
Oh, is that right?
What was his background in baseball?
Lenny said he could rake. And then at the time, it wasn't then. It was later on when he went to see Charlie, and Charlie was living with this chick, Scottine. She's a porn star. And she called Lenny like 3 days later. And Lenny hated this porn star. You can tell he couldn't stand her because she calls him up and she says, Lenny, you're the only person I know who can talk Charlie out of this. He's been awake for 9 days on a crack binge.
Oh, boy.
9 days.
What does he expect Lenny to do?
She wants Lenny to talk him out of his crack den. He's in this secret room behind a bookcase.
Yeah.
Off his bedroom.
That's what he was telling us
about. You have to enter a code, and the bookcase opens, and there's Charlie's private crack den.
Wow.
With all his baseball memorabilia in there and all kinds of man cave type stuff.
Now, he said in the interview when we had him on that he was smoking crack holding Babe Ruth's bat, right?
Yes. Yep.
What?
Yeah, he was on a 9-day crack binge. Lenny talks him out of the crack den, him into going to sleep.
Now, I've never done crack, but I would think 9 days would be too long for a binge.
I would think it'd be too long for any human being to be alive. Wouldn't that put pressure on your
organs? Call this guy.
Any kind of binge at all?
Maz just picked up my Bobby Brown book. Great book, by the way.
Wow. I think this is Maz losing interest in the story. Jerry.
Yes, it's about something he has.
No, 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 no.
He's starting to pick up books.
No, I'm totally listening.
Okay, what did he just talk about? He
talked about the crack binge.
How many days was it?
9 days.
Who called?
Said three times.
Who called him?
The porn star. I can't remember her name.
What's her name, Mark?
Some name I don't know.
Justine or
Scottine.
Scottine.
Close enough.
Does this story have an end?
What was he holding while smoking crack?
Admit you were getting bored.
I was.
I can tell when he was.
Yeah, no, he's like a child. He starts looking around for the toys. Was there something I can find here that would entertain me while I'm...
Meanwhile, we
hear this boring story.
We wasted time. People are in pins and needles waiting to hear how this crack binge story ends.
Oh, sorry.
I love that story.
He gets some sleep.
Yeah, this story ends.
He calls Lenny and says he needs to talk to someone. So Lenny comes over and he admits to Lenny Dykstra that he has HIV.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he's being blackmailed by all kinds of people.
So Lenny knew early.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, Lenny Dykstra can keep a secret.
Yes.
That's Lenny what I'm taking Lenny away kept from the secret. Story. Yeah.
Lenny begged him to go public, and Charlie said he was going to go public, and then Charlie disappeared just when Lenny was going to hook him up with a PR guy.
Yeah.
He had kind of dug up. Lenny wouldn't return call, or Charlie wouldn't return calls, and so that was the end of that. And then he said it was about a year later he went on Today's Show and gave it up to Matt Lauer.
Wow.
But he was getting, sound like Charlie was losing millions in extortion.
Yeah, well, Charlie
was saying they were going to give it up.
So he kind of never mind.
Wouldn't you have loved if Matt Lauer didn't get that scoop?
Yes, yeah. Anyone but Matt Lauer.
Yeah, anyone.
I know. He's such a tool. I'm not a Matt Lauer fan.
Although
I might like him better if he's going up against Strahan. I'm starting to hate Strahan.
Oh, yeah.
He's the worst.
Why does he get to rule the world? Was he going to run for president next?
Someone fell in love with him.
President
Camacho. Someone fell in love with him.
Remember President Camacho from Idiocracy?
So is he going to still be able to do Fox football?
Yeah,
of course. He does everything.
Wow.
I'm telling you, he's going to be president. He's going to run for president.
And he's going to be on Fox. I wouldn't
bet against you.
I'm not betting against me either.
They're going to do that pregame show from the Oval Office.
I bet you he gets the interview with the president this year at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Is that on Fox?
That's a great bet, Maz. That'll be a good indicator that he's going to run one day.
Him interviewing Trump.
That's an indicator.
The 93 Phils, Lenny says they were a harder partying than the 86 Mets.
That blew my mind when he said
that. I can't believe that still.
He claims because he was one of the veterans, and he was such an instigator. The Met veterans were not as influential on the young Mets as he and some of the Phillies were on. At this point in Lenny's career, by the way, he never stays with the team. He has a private suite in another hotel. He's never in the same building as the team when they travel because he wants to throw parties in
his
suite.
How'd he get away with that, with the Phils?
He was hitting 325. I don't know.
The roids were good to him.
Yeah, they were. They were great to him in that World Series, too. He had four home runs, which I think only seven or eight people have done. In Game 4 of the 93 World Series, Lenny Dykstra had two home runs, a double, a walk, four RBIs, four runs scored, and a stolen base.
And they lost.
They lost 15-14.
Isn't that amazing?
And then Game 7, he had his fourth home run of the series. They were down 5-1. He had a three-run homer to make it 5-4. They scored two runs to go ahead, 6-5. And Mitch Williams gave it the three-run homer to Joe Carter. And the Mets had Doc Gooden going maybe in Game 7, I want to say. Anyway, if they won Game 6, they certainly had a good shot. Or no, Phillies. I'm sorry. Phillies.
Yeah.
Schilling was ready to go in Game 7. There you go.
You mixed up the two.
And Schilling had a shutout in Game 6. Yes, I did. He used Dan Petrocelli as an attorney once.
He did?
Lenny did, yeah. He was suing his car wash partner.
The Goldman's a civil attorney.
Yeah.
Wow. That kind of bums me out.
Did he say anything about Schilling?
He loves Schilling.
He does.
I thought he was fantastic. Yeah, he was a gamer all
the way. What do you think of
Schilling? Totally
as a person?
I don't know. I'm kind of weirded out by him. I thought that whole thing where he got into it over that text to his kid and that whole mess, I thought that was his fault because why is he tweeting his child?
Yeah.
He couldn't just congratulate her with a phone
call? I disagreed with you then. I'll disagree with you now. He's just putting it out there. He's being a dad.
Yeah, but you got to expect the response it's going to get. I just hate all the stupid...
It's always bad, as you know. You got to...
I would have expected that. I would have expected that. He was pissed off about it.
I don't really care for the memes he retweets that have gotten him in some trouble.
Oh, Schilling, yeah.
That are factually incorrect, but whatever.
You know who Lenny partied heavily with? You know who Roger King is, the head of King World? He owned Oprah and he owned Dr. Phil. I mean, he's a multi-gazillionaire.
That guy's a partier?
Huge partier. He was 63 years old when Lenny met him.
Dude,
And he was way into pussy and powder, as Lenny put it. Yeah, Roger King was.
Roger King of King World. I want to see what he looks like.
He's now dead. He passed away in 2007.
From pussy or powder?
From pussy. No, probably from powder, actually.
Died of powder or pussy.
But Roger King was a huge gambler, too, and so Lenny and him used to donate together occasionally in the Vegas casinos. And Roger King was at a Phillies team party when they were in Los Angeles. They had a day game the next afternoon at 1 p.m. They were still up at 4 o'clock when Roger King left. So Roger King put $500,000 on the Dodgers,
mm-hmm.
and the Phillies won.
Wow.
And Lenny had the game-winning hit, too.
Really? Well, mm-hmm. you can't blame him for putting that money down.
No, I thought it was a good bet.
It's like insider bet. Training.
Absolutely.
He died of a stroke, it says.
That's right.
In 07.
What caused it, Tom? Powder or pussy?
Doesn't say.
Speaking of pussy.
I just want to hear Tom say pussy.
Let's see death.
He's ignoring you.
I know. Well, what else is
he new? Was survived by his wife, Ray Molly, and three daughters.
I'm sure she's delighted to hear all this about the Lenny Dykstra book.
Oprah Winfrey stated, "I will never forget what he did for me."
She's talking about the time he fucked her.
I was going to say, I don't think your inflection was right on that comment.
I will never.
I will never forget what he did for me.
You sound like a goddamn pussy to me.
Denny played pretty good golf. He was about a 10 handicap.
Yeah.
And he was getting better. And some people claim that I think it was Dave Johnson who said Lenny would bet him even money. And Dave Johnson was like a scratch golfer.
Uh-huh.
But he could not resist gambling. And so he would literally owe Davey Johnson thousands of dollars at the end of every match they played.
Did he pay him?
Because he just wasn't that good. Yeah, he tried to pay him. Dave said he didn't take his money most of the time.
Well, that's interesting because he's not very fond of Davey Johnson in this book.
No, he calls him an alcoholic pretty much.
Yeah.
And Dave Johnson royally disagrees with that. He said he had a couple drinks. He never had more than a couple drinks. But Lenny royally disagrees with that. But this pro-am he played in Reno, Nevada. He said he didn't play particularly well, and one of the reasons was he was up all night the night before the first round because someone in the next room, he kept hearing screaming, some chick going, "Oh, my God, I'm going to come. Oh, my God, I'm going to come. Oh, my God, I'm going to come." And he said just when it would settle down, you think, "Oh, my God, these people, these rabbits,
animals.
These animals have got to be done for that." And then he'd hear it again, "Oh, my God, I'm going to come. Stop. Oh, my God, I'm going to come.
Can you stop saying it? It's freaking me
I'm
out.
I'm trying to tell the story. I'm sorry."
Yeah, right.
Did he find out who it was?
The next morning, the person is leaving their room just as Lenny is leaving his room. Michael Jordan.
Oh, really? Cool.
Michael fucking Jordan.
Wow, that means he's the Michael Jordan of fucking.
Exactly. So what is that guy, what is his Achilles heel, Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan?
He can gambling. Fuck better than everyone.
Gambling, yeah.
He was a bad gambler.
Lost money gambling.
Yep.
But he won a lot gambling, too.
I'm sure he did, but I'm sure he paid out more.
Yeah, I expect apparently he's on the losing side of the ledger.
His kryptonite is memes.
I think you're right. Jack Nicholson, he declared, was the best wingman ever because when Lenny was about to close a deal with a chick, he would call Jack and have Jack talk to the girl, and he said that worked every time.
How cool would that be?
He said Jack would just go,
"Just do that.
How's Nails doing?"
That's awesome. What a great closer. I wonder what his closing percentage is.
I don't know. He did not give a percentage, but he just said Jack was the best wingman ever without even being present.
that's the most amazing part about it.
Lenny bought a Gulfstream, which happened pretty quickly because he never thought of owning a private jet until he was in the Beverly Hills Hotel and some chick said, "Let's go to Vegas." And Lenny was like, "Huh, well, we can't go to Vegas." She's like, "Charter a jet." So Lenny called the concierge,
yeah.
And he said they were wheels up in a half an hour.
Wow.
Wow.
Vegas, yeah.
That's awesome.
So, and he's like, "This is the coolest thing ever. I've got to buy a plane." So he bought a Gulfstream and... It wasn't enough to have a Gulfstream. He thought the interior was very outdated. Plain interior was crummy. So he got, he had bought his first Maybach by then. So he had the Maybach company redo the interior of the plane to match his
Lenny.
Maybach car.
What did that run him?
Oh, he didn't even say. I'm sure it was thousands. This guy threw away money like
thousands,
nobody.
Thousands? Probably millions.
He got,
I'm including the price of the
interior.
Plane.
Oh, the plane, yeah. Well, but I'm just talking about the interior was from Maybach. And Ulrich Maybach, the president of the company, actually, Lenny talked to him and asked him permission. Would they do this for him? And they did.
Wow. God, it's funny. I forget that not only did he make money playing, but he invested really wisely.
Oh, yeah. And the car washes.
Yeah, the car washes.
The first car wash is making $1 million a year.
Wow. Huh.
So, yeah. And then he had more car washes after that, and he had...
Did he lose it all?
Well, he lost the car. I'll get to that in a second. I'm going to wrap this up. Robert De Niro, party big with Robert De Niro. Lenny would do anything to sneak away from his wife and family, of course. And usually he'd say,
oh, I've got to meet with my psychiatrist. He had a shrink, and that was like he'd blow off the appointment, go party his ass off. Because his shrink was in New York, and they lived in California, I think, at the time. So he could, you know, he could get away with saying, I'm going to see my shrink. Anyway, he decided that the best possible scam would be to fake rehab, to tell his wife he was going to rehab, because then he had 30 days to go crazy.
Wow.
So he did it.
What does that mean?
He says he did it six times.
How do you do that in the end? How do you
come back? It?
How do you come back all burnt out and strung out? And
well, I don't know. I can't answer that. But he just described his first 30 days. I think it was St. Bart's. And he's got 30 days just to rage. And also, because rehabs are real privacy-oriented,
yeah.
You know, it was, people don't usually call you at rehab.
So he doesn't have to use his phone?
No, not at all.
Never had to check in.
But he hooks up with Robert De Niro in St. Bart's when he's on his first rehab, quote-unquote. And he said De Niro was into the hoovering big time.
Oh.
And they did legendary amounts of blow together. De Niro didn't have any, so De Niro was constantly badgering for, hey, Lenny, can I buy half of that stuff? And then Lenny would send Robert a thousand.
That disappoints me about Robert De Niro.
Are you really that surprised?
You want him to be drug-free?
I did.
Hate to burst your bubble, Maz. But it's going to get worse, too.
Young Vito Corleone.
De Niro would send him $1,000 bottles of wine at dinner every night, you know, and he said his wife kind of wondered, who is this guy he's sending this wine to? What's going on? Because he was just partying with Lenny, apparently. But then after this whole St. Bart's trip, Lenny also gave him his Dexedrine, which he used to come down from the Coke, because he'd be all wired from the Coke. And I guess Dexedrine, is it a downer? Sometimes.
No idea.
Anyway,
sure.
Denny said it worked perfectly with cocaine and that De Niro was on the program within a couple days.
The program.
Yeah, was asking for more Dexedrine. Anyway.
What a load De Niro is.
So, yeah, he made De Niro sound like a real anchor, to be honest.
Ugh.
So, anyway, a couple years later, he shows up at De Niro's restaurant. He's like, hey, Bobby D. And he said De Niro completely stiffed him, didn't recognize him, did not know who he was, and didn't ask either. And Lenny just said, I guess he's an asshole.
What a load of crap.
I know. It was pretty bad.
Man.
After hoovering with him for a week in St.
Bart's. Why would Bobby do that to him?
I don't know.
Heath really thought he didn't recognize him. He really thought he had no idea who he was.
Oh, I could kind of believe that now.
Yeah, I think it's conceivable. And from there, I'm skipping huge portions of the book, however. The Gretzky house was his downfall. He bought the Gretzky house. He told them, I've got about $35,000 in liquidity a month. He didn't want to sell his house because he had a house down the hill from Gretzky, which he wanted to keep. He wanted to use the Gretzky house for his Players Club magazine.
This is in L.A.?
Mm-hmm. Yes. As kind of a home base for the magazine, just to blow people away with the interior and just, you know, to impress people like advertisers. You'd bring them there and so on and so forth. But he told them, look, I've got to make payments on this house. I've only got $35,000 in liquid cash a month. If the mortgage is going to be too much more than that, I can't do it. So anyway, they came back. Washington Mutual came back with a mortgage for him.
Oh, what happened to them? Jeez.
Yeah, they were seized about...
Yeah, they went belly up.
I think it was like 6 months after they came up with this mortgage.
They were one of the first ones to go belly up after Lehman, right?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
They were seized. Anyway, they came up with this program. They said they could loan him $150,000 a month. And Lenny said, that's a little more than I was planning on paying. They were like, no, don't worry about it. We'll cross-collateralize using your car washes.
We'll cross-collateralize.
It's no problem, man. And so Lenny's like, well, if you really think we can do it.
Oh, my God. They even got him?
He
figured, $150,000 a month, though.
He figured he could sell the house, you know, no problem. It was liquid cash.
Sure.
Not knowing that this is 2007.
Yeah, and
that the market was about to crash.
Yeah,
in another month or so.
Mutual.
And Washington Mutual loaned him $85,000 the first month and said, we're going to have the loan fixed so it's $150,000 next month. So anyway, Washington Mutual, not only did they not take his phone calls next month when he wanted to get his loan fixed, they basically just completely blew him off and went out of business 5 months later when they were seized.
So
Lenny didn't have the $150,000 he needed. They were only loaning him $85,000 a month, which is a lot of money.
Did he say who owned the mortgage then, or...?
He had no idea. And at this point, no clue whatsoever, because they were, you know, they were bundling them and selling them and all that.
Oh, yeah.
He had no idea.
Cross-collateralizing them.
So he lost everything. Lost the car washes.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's crazy. Well, that explains a lot in a way, doesn't it?
Yeah, I thought so.
Wow, it's his fault.
He could not pay, for the house. He couldn't sell the house either because the house lost about half its value overnight.
And the market was shit anyway after that.
So that was how he got fucked.
That explains a lot of it.
And the teeth.
Do you think it's all true, by the way?
I did not believe everything I read in the book. I did not. The loan, I believe a lot of he wrote about his finances. I did believe a lot of that. I'm not sure, but I thought it sounded believable.
Sounds too easy to me.
Since it was Washington Mutual, I thought it made it sound even more believable.
Yeah. In the time period in which it happened.
And if things had not gone south around that time, I believe they would have come up with a $150 a month, too. Because they loved those huge loans people couldn't afford. They loved doing that. Because they assumed the houses would keep going up, and you know, it was a never-ending thing.
Wow.
Then the teeth, he got the shit beat out of him in when he was first jailed for these assortment of financial crimes. He was in solitary at one point for his own safety, they said. But one night they came down there and three guards just kicked the living shit out of him.
Okay, now do you believe that story?
I do believe it. There's pictures of his face and his...
Yeah, but for no reason?
But guards?
I don't know about the for no reason part. I have no idea.
Right.
He claimed it was for communicating with people down the cell block.
Oh.
He was yelling at people down the cell block who were yelling back at him.
I could see him fighting back.
And they knocked a few of his teeth out, too, and he said that that brawl was the reason he has no teeth.
Mm. Huh.
So, if you believe it.
Well, it works for him.
He does look good with the no teeth. Look at that cover. It's a great cover of the book.
I don't know about this guy. He is...
He's a unique individual.
He's, you know, he's very funny, I will admit. And, you know, we got a lot out of the other book, too, which was written by a bystander, you know, his ghost writer for the stock tips.
Yeah, nailed.
And that guy, you know, he had a lot of stuff that Lenny doesn't even give up, like the fact that he called people over 80 years old bro and dude.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole keep it stiff thing, which Lenny didn't even mention.
Two strawberry cocks. By the way, Tom, it's two strawberry cocks.
Not dongs?
No, it was not dongs.
We had to clean it up for terrestrial radio.
I didn't know that. I thought it was really dongs.
No, it was two strawberry dongs.
Two strawberry dongs sounds good. You know, yeah, after I realized it was
aesthetically,
wrong,
doesn't it sound better?
Yeah, I did dongs. Like it better.
The other story in Nailed that we were laughing at that the guy wrote about Lenny is I wondered if it was in this book about where he ripped a fart in his assistant's face.
Oh, yeah. No, never mentioned it. Did not mention it.
Yeah, Tommy asked his assistant to see if he ripped. He thought he ripped his pants, and he bent over and asked her to come look at it.
That was a female. Aww. It was a chick.
And he just went right in her face. What a jerk.
A hideous blast. We were talking about one of the big stories over the weekend. Like I said, slow week. Aretha could be possibly her final performance in the Motor City.
And what a performance it wasn't.
We have always followed Aretha carefully in her many moods and... She wore a big dress. I'll tell you that much for sure. That much I can promise you. She wore a very large dress.
The Free Press described it as dressed in a gorgeous white ball gown with gold accents.
Okay, I guess that could be deemed true. She took an hour to get out of the car. The show was supposed to start at 6. And for some reason... They did say she was under the weather. She's under the weather an awful lot, isn't she?
Yeah, she even said she was under the weather. She said, keep me in your prayers!
Yeah.
Everybody immediately reads as, ooh, she's
and
dying.
Then she had to be escorted to the stage. I mean, this is planned, though, by the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Yeah, but why were they hiding out in her car forever?
That's a good question. I don't know. And then she...
They're making out.
It wasn't enough to escort her. I mean, that was enough. Actually, I should say, Debbie Stabenow had to introduce her. Jesse couldn't handle that duty, apparently.
Well, not only Debbie Stabenow, but Gerald McBride from WMXD.
Oh, Gerald McBride as well.
It was a two-person job to interview her.
Why would Debbie Stabenow... I mean, that is so dumb.
It's really stupid, but, you know, it's the perfect thing to jump on because it is a Detroit, you know, they changed the name of the street, so it is like a city event.
Yeah, it turns into this political thing.
Which, you know, any chance to jump on that stage?
But honestly, I know, how silly, though, Debbie Stabenow. What does she have to do with Aretha Franklin?
Nothing. Zero.
Silly. Why don't I have Smokey or somebody if it's her last performance?
But they introduced her, and yeah, the band played for, what, 15, 20 minutes while they waited for Aretha?
Yeah.
Did Debbie stay on stage the whole time?
A good question. I don't know. That's so awkward and weird for the crowd.
Oh, my. I would thoroughly enjoy that if I was there just watching the awkwardness.
But then also, she played for 25 minutes, and then she took a long break, apparently. And, like, I was reading the comments. The first is Stacey Gittleman. It was an honor to be in her presence, even in the heat. Everyone in the crowd even thought it was hot, was kind and patient. We all had a great time, a great coming together. You could feel the harmony all coming together to celebrate the Queen of Soul. Stacey Gittleman, Detroit, Michigan.
Okay.
Then Carolyn comes in.
I hope she knows how very much she is appreciated here in her hometown. I believe in giving the flowers while those we want to honor are still here. I hope Miss Franklin considers the crowds that came out for her this weekend those flowers.
Oh, God.
And I quote,
I'm sure she hasn't thought about you once.
Carolyn Bright, Detroit, Michigan.
Why this? What's the flowers thing? Then Norman Wall comes in and just blows everything out of the water.
Norman! Let's see. She's an hour late and only sang for 25 minutes, then alluded to another mysterious ailment. Ho-hum, nothing new here. Was that Norman Wolk?
Yes.
Are you reading on the Free Press or the news?
Free Press.
That's funny, because he commented in the news story about her as well.
Oh, he's a veritable... Yes. Who's my man? Who?
Norman Wolk? Oh, a veritable Thomas Fiorini?
Yeah, Thomas Fiorini. Yeah, he goes everywhere to comment.
Norman Wolk, who works at the School of Life...
Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny?
Commented, I get tired of Aretha and her mysterious illnesses. Remember when her people started rumors she had cancer? The mysteriously was better and walking in Walmart. She's past her prime and time to retire.
Ooh.
Norman.
Then Mary Shelley follows that up all the way from the United Kingdom.
What was your great contribution to the arts again, Norman? It takes a special kind of stupid to trash Aretha Franklin.
Not really.
Mary Shelley, London, UK.
Michael Roscoe. Took a break, came back and sang another set. 75 years old, hot out, and she gave me time to grab some waters. Great show.
Oh, yeah, that's why she did it, for him to grab some.
Apparently.
I'm going to take a break so this guy can grab some waters.
Michael decides he's not done and has to write another little note. Norman, did you leave early? She came back strong. We thought it was over early also, but stuck around. Glad we did. Michael Fetzer. Too bad the event was tainted by the likes of the honorable, in quotes, Jesse Jackson. Opa Carl then follows that up with,
too bad you're obviously so self-centered you think it's about you.
What? What does it mean? What about you? What's about him?
Apparently, Jesse Jackson's so self-centered he thought it was about him.
Jeez. Then Michael Roscoe's back.
Uh-oh.
Didn't hear Jesse singing, trying to figure out how he tainted the show, asshat. let's see, one more comment. Oh, it's Michael Roscoe again. It was a great event with a really fun crowd of people. Detroit put on a great show. Congrats. Okay. What are the news comments like?
I find this article deceptive. Ms. Franklin was on stage for only 25 minutes. Aretha, Debbie Stabenow, and Jesse Jackson. Was this a concert or Ringling Brothers Circus?
I love it.
And then John, thank you, Ms. Franklin, for making Detroit so great. What has she done to make Detroit so great?
Oh, she's done to make Detroit so great.
Nothing brings down a show faster than having blowhard politicians show up and running their yaps. Can't those dopes ever go away or watch the show from a distance? Like in Canada!
You know, honestly, that's what
like
I meant.
Canada.
Who wants to hear Debbie Stabenow introduce anyone?
No one.
Oh, Duncan was out there, too. What if that's the other event? Or it's probably all done from the stage, I bet.
I would think so.
Now, I'm confused. Is this a 25-minute concert, or was there another 75 minutes, like Michael Roscoe says?
I don't know. That guy said it was only 25 minutes. As he said. Now, this is the whole
apparently
article.
This delay was long, because it sounds like people left.
The 75-year-old sat in a chair on the stage for several songs and ceded the stage to Jackson and Mississippi gospel duo the Williams Brothers for two other songs.
What?
She was helped on and off stage by members of her entourage. She only took the stage when she was ready. nothing's changed there. That's when they say the 6 p.m. start time. She didn't get in there until 7. After the intros by Debbie Stabenow, WMXD's Gerald McBride, whose intros were followed by an extended period of awkward silence. Well, hold up a few hundred feet away. Franklin was inside her car parked on Madison waiting to exit. Her band was already on stage and started queuing up instrumentals, including Natural Woman and Think. When commotion surrounded her vehicle, she finally emerged flanked by Jesse Jackson.
Commotion?
Yeah, probably.
I want to see what they
Aretha,
call it.
Aretha, the band's on stage!
They've been playing for 20 minutes and running out of stuff to play!
And she got up there and said, hello, Detroit! And she opened with, I knew you were waiting. The crowd gave Franklin a warm welcome, shouting, Your Majesty! We love you, Aretha!
What? Your Majesty?
Well, come on. Who else is going to go down there? Let's see... Always one to single out friends, family, and VIPs in the crowd. She pointed out former Detroit councilwoman Joanne Watson. I'm sure the crowd got off on that.
Who gives a shit?
And later shouted out Mary Wilson of the Supremes, former boxing champ Tommy Hearns. Duggan was there. was Duggan was also on hand and presented Franklin with the key to the city of Detroit midway through the show, saying the key was Detroit's highest show of R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Which she didn't play, by the way.
How can she?
That was supposed to be her encore, and she blew it off.
You know what? This article says 95-minute, 13-song set.
Okay, so it wasn't 25 minutes. No. She apparently took a long break.
She pointed out Tommy Hearns at one point, and then she brought up Sugar Ray Leonard for some reason and said, he sure is cute. And then she says, if you want to holla. So apparently, if Sugar Ray Leonard wanted to, he could go bang Aretha.
Yeah.
You want to hear
something? By the way, there's one shot of her, and I noticed this on M Live, too. There's a pretty major frontal tooth that is missing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just like the national anthem. Remember when she did the long 8-minute national anthem?
I'm sure she can't afford the dental work or have anything temporary put in there for an important show like this.
This is her singing on stage. Great quality in live. Man, I think she's been doing some. I think she's been working on her triceps.
Let me see.
You sure?
Oh boy.
Her hair looks nice.
Looks like she hasn't had it dyed in a couple months.
Yeah, got some pretty strong roots.
Yeah, what, 3 inches? 5 inches, maybe? It sounds like we're really dogging Aretha. I'm just trying to state facts here.
I think she, this is the sad part, I think she is losing a lot of weight, as witnessed by, you notice her watch location?
Oh, yeah.
Most people don't change the size of their watch.
Yeah, it's falling up her arm.
Yeah, it's about halfway down her forearm.
Oh. Did you see she had a little trouble with Adele's Rolling in the Deep?
Why was Sissy Houston there?
Yeah, no.
That was the song they did on Letterman.
Just says she grappled to pinpoint the right key over the lone plunking bass note that opens the song.
Oh.
And she seemed to lose steam as the show neared its end, giving a subdued vocal performance in the band's ebullient Freeway of Love attack. Amid the band's ebullient Freeway of Love attack. Wait, you want to write this so somebody can understand it? Wordy there. But as she headed off the stage, escorted to her waiting car through a crush of fans outside the gates, the feat was already well in the bag. For one more night at least, Aretha Franklin had laid it all out for Detroit.
Wait, was the band still playing when she left? Because that would be awesome. They were played before she got there, and then they were still playing when she just got her car.
I would bet good money they were. And Detroit proved happy to love her right back.
How big was the crowd?
I don't know. I bet you they had a great crowd for this. I would think. I really would. I'm just guessing.
There's some sweet feedback on that song. Just wandering by a speaker.
You know, I kind of like the way Aretha just is like, fuck everybody. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm doing what I want to do. It's a little annoying, but she is 75. You know, she's done a few of these. Although she could certainly do more if she would only get on an airplane.
She's pretty demanding.
Yeah, but she's, you know, that's part of being a star.
I suppose.
Just trying to give her a small break.
Well,
we haven't given her many.
The small break is that she's 75.
Yeah.
She's still performing.
The last few times I've seen her sing, she's got an amazing voice.